to another edition of the Security Ledger podcast. I'm your host, Paul Roberts, the editor-in-chief of the Security Ledger. The running narrative about Russia-backed hacking of U.S. officials and companies got a shot in the arm this week when the U.S. Justice Department unveiled an indictment of four men, described as Russian hackers, for their role breaking into systems belonging to internet giant Yahoo and making off with data on some 500 million Yahoo users in 2014. But was the Yahoo hack really the work of Russia's FSB intelligence arm? And what do we know about the four men who were arrested? If the DOJ's indictment is accurate, what does that mean for the state of play between Russia, the US, and other countries in this newest theater of battle, cyberspace? To talk with us about all this, we've invited Igor Baikalov, chief scientist of the firm Securonics, into the Security Ledger studio. Igor is a seasoned technologist with over 25 years of experience in data analysis and enterprise application development. I started by asking Igor for his take on the DOJ indictment.
It's an interesting mix of somewhat common scenarios that we hear, not necessarily in Russian intelligence community, but around the world, that hackers being employed by intelligence agencies to do some work for them one way or another, at the same time, you know, continuing their criminal enterprises. So the setup with two FSB officers allegedly involved in the attack, and especially one of them being a former hacker who apparently was recruited by FSB years ago to avoid jail time. That's all seems plausible. I mean, the amount of information released on that, I mean, I don't think it really lets the kind of third party decide just based on this information, reliably decide one way or another. You know, yeah, it's a plausible scenario, but was it really the way it's all happened? And connection of all the, especially the officers in this case, to other event perspiring, you know, in Russia and previous kind of notoriety with the arrest of two of the FSB officers back in December. It just makes it a little bit dull to uncertainness what the exact role and what the exact activities can be attributed to the individuals.
It is a really confusing picture. So there are four men whose names are on the indictment. One is a 22-year-old Canadian-born, a Canadian citizen who was born in Kazakhstan. His name's Karim Baratov. And one of the other four is who allegedly was recruited to do this hack, but was not an FSB agent, obviously. The other was Alexei Belan, who was a kind of known Carter cyber criminal within Russia. And he allegedly was cooperating as well. And then there are these two FSB agents, Dmitry Dukachev, and the fourth was Igor Suschin, who themselves have been the subject of actions in Russia in recent weeks, arrests by the intelligence agencies, charges of treason, and so on. So it's a very messy picture. What are we to make of that?
No, sir. I'm curious what it's what's the connection between this indictment and arrest in December, and I think that's kind of strange that the same people that FSB arrests is indicted by DOJ. So I believe eventually we'll find out. The question is how soon.
I guess the question would be, was that a gesture to the Trump administration that, you know, these people might be extradited, that Russia was looking at them as criminals and not as patriots? Or was it the evidence of a leak on the U.S. side that they knew who these people were and Russia, you know, acted on that leak? I guess those are two options. I don't know. Are there others that I'm not even considering?
It does look more like kind of a shot across the bow on both sides. One side in December, another side this time, right? So we watch and we take it seriously and cut it out, right? That type of statement coming from both sides. So, but what does it mean? Because we still don't know what each side knows about activities that led to, for example, the arrest in December.
There's a lot of cloaks and daggers. It's like we're back in the 50s or 60s again, you know?
Yeah, but this time we have more cloak than dagger, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not going to say the word cyber dagger because I just don't want to do that kind of violence to your ears.
I mean, just look at the level of detailed information that will be needed to basically to prove these allegations. I mean, it's, and again, not saying that it's not true, it might be, but it sounds like, I don't think you can deduce these connections and who hired whom and what the exact orders were, let's say how the FSB managed hackers and how FSB officers themselves were guided on whose orders they did it. I mean, any certainty in that would probably can come only from witness one sort of another. I mean, they definitely cannot figure out it through the, firewall logs.
How common would it be for an operation like this to be a mixture of, kind of mercenaries or hackers for hire and then people who are working, under the auspices of an intelligence agency? And I guess, in Russia or other countries as well, not just Russia.
I believe it's pretty common. And again, it's has to do with both deniability and skill gap, right? And kind of the different nature of operations. The former boss of the Kuchayev, Sergei Mikhailov, who was also arrested back in December, apparently was known for his skills in organizing and managing hackers for years. So obviously that was probably part of his responsibility to maintain the so-called cyber force, both for intelligence gathering as well as the defensive purposes. It's I believe it's a common scenario.
What would have been the motive? I mean, Yahoo was the target here. It's a huge internet provider with obviously hundreds of millions, billions of customers or users. What would have been the motive of, government of Russia or China or any other country to go after a target like that? Is it merely just for the credentials that will give them access to other higher value sites or what? I mean, what is in it for the government of Russia to hack a company like Yahoo?
Yeah, assuming that the focus of the hack was really the set of activists or citizens that the intelligence services needed information on, it might include anything from access to their email correspondence to, like you mentioned, access to other sites. I think it's basically going after Yahoo. That might be just efficiency play instead of trying to hack each personal account on their kind of endpoint on the workstations. Go to where the information actually resides, and probably security is not as good as on a personal workstation. So that would make sense. I mean, again, it's not clear. Was the opportunity for breach discovered first by the hackers and then kind of exploited by the intelligence agencies, or was it done to work?
I think we learned that spear phishing played a role in this compromise, at least in the early stages. What does it say that, again, sophisticated technology companies don't seem to be able to have a good way of dealing with these spear phishing attacks and the lateral movement that follows them?
There are two parts to the solution, and typically at least one is missing. I mean, we know that the human is probably going to be the weakest link in security for years to come. Main reason, because human can be manipulated in the performance of this action, and so it's only a matter of how convincing email or voicemail or text message is, or know how well the target was investigated to make this message convincing. So there's lots of opportunities for the attacker to find successful exploitation.
I mean, there was this indictment of these four gentlemen for their involvement in this incident. I think it's the first time that Russian officials have actually been named in a criminal indictment in the United States. Obviously, during the Obama administration, there was an indictment of some officials with the Chinese People's Liberation Army that got a lot of attention. As somebody who has been in the industry for a long time, is this significant and what should we make of it?
Well, that's, as you said, you know, it's the first time we see it. I'm not sure yet what the effect was of indicting Chinese hackers. Did it really result in any reduction in the attack? So it's a matter of coverage and it's a matter of who provides the information for that kind of leads to accusation of attacks here and there. What worries me the most is the consequences that implied because of this attribution. So somehow the cyber attacks, I mean, are still taken somewhat lightly, but the consequences considered might include actions that hurt people on cyber, you know, be it physical confrontation or the sanctions or financial restrictions. So there are pretty serious consequences, and I don't see that, you know, that seriousness is reflected in the way that cyber attacks are treated.
It is interesting that certainly if you look back in the last year or so, the theater of cyber activities has become the point of friction between the U.S. and Russia and other countries as well. And, you've been in the space a long time. I'm interested in your thoughts on that.
And I think that's the reason why we see more activity in the sector, because of the difficulty of attribution. So if the nation state has an opportunity to anything from, you know, let's call it constructive gathering of information or, you know, establishing a beachhead and some of the critical systems of the other country, and can do it with a significant level of deniability, I'm pretty sure many countries are willing to take this risk. It's not the same as, say, with invasion or, you know, any kind of physical attacks. I mean, there's definitely a whole different level of isolation that cyber attackers enjoy in this case. And it basically becomes a game of how far do you go? I mean, does this attack look that it's done by this person because he meant he was sloppy, or somebody else made it look like this, or that, you know, if that somebody else, I mean, we suspect that maybe there is another person behind it who, or another organization. So it's very easy to confuse the trace and not very easy to kind of get to the source of the truth. I mean, one, if you look at it, that's as a kind of traditional, you know, non-cyber crime, be it theft or anything. The other way to trace it is to track the stolen goods. I mean, if this information stolen shows up somewhere, that's a good indication, you know, that probably we're on the right track. The problem is that in the case of this massive breaches of massive amounts of information stolen, at least in security industry, there is a belief that it's used more for developing more detailed, more elaborate profiles for future targeting versus using it directly for financial gain, right? And so not necessarily you will see this information that will come to serve.
Do we get to a point where we can put more confidence around these types of allegations? I'm thinking back, you know, to the beginning of the Cold War. It was probably difficult to figure out, you know, where missiles were launched from. But, you know, we spent a lot of money developing the technology to be able to pinpoint that. I'm wondering if we're kind of in the process of doing that in the cyberspace as well.
That's a great analogy. I mean, the ability to detect the launch remotely and in near real time, I mean, that changed the game, right? At Securonics, we have an advantage because we actually monitoring enterprise networks from inside. And so we have the data available to us. We can get additional data. We have access to the system that's needed. And so we can pretty much monitor any happening on a network. in a wild internet, we don't have that ability, right? I mean, that because the data availability, just, you know, you have communications and going on across the world between different parties and relayed by many different players. As much as some of the agencies would like to monitor that, there is an issue of privacy and secrecy too. So I believe there will be some progress in this direction, but I don't expect really any, you know, game-changing developments like tracking satellites in the cyberspace. It's not just too much information, but it's hard to identify on purpose, right? So the system is pretty much built the way that is not inherently trackable.
Igor Baikalov, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with Security Ledger. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Paul.
We've been talking with Igor Baikalov, who's the chief scientist at the firm Securonix, about the Department of Justice indictment of four hackers for their involvement in the breach of Yahoo.